Jeremiah 29, verse 11. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." So God has thoughts for you. What are His thoughts for you? His thoughts for you are good thoughts. Amen. The NIV says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you." Plans. See, God's got plans. He's already got plans. You don't have to make up your own plan. We are the created. He is the creator. We the created go back to the creator and we say, "Great creator." And He's not just creator. God is love. So we're not coming to some ruthless, mean, harsh creator. We're coming to love Himself. And we're saying, "Love, You are the great, great creator. I am the created. What have You created for me?" He's already prepared it. "I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you," the NIV. Right. You will be tested in life because there's an adversary in this world and he's got a legal right to test you. But faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Yes. Faith in God and faith in His Word will assure you victory every time. Amen. God's plan for you is a plan of prosperity. Everybody say prosperity. So He said, "I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a future and a hope." The thing I like about the plan of God is He's already declared the end from the beginning. Amen. He's declared the end from the beginning. Amen. That's why if you ever reach a rough place, you can just look up to your Creator and you can say, "Lord, I know You've made a way of escape. I know You've made a way out." Why? Because when He declared your beginning, He declared your end. Amen. And what kind of end did He declare for you? Psalm 37, don't turn there, but Psalm 37 says this, "Mark the blameless man." In other words, look at the blameless man. And who is the blameless man? You might say, "Well, I'm not blameless. You know, I yelled at my wife this morning." But how many of you know there's something called the blood of the Lamb? And by the blood of the Lamb, God doesn't look at us as we are. He looks at us in Christ. Amen. And so now in Christ, you and I, we are all the blameless. Yes. And so Psalm 37 says this, "Mark the blameless man." Everybody say, "That's me."
That's me.
"Mark the blameless man. Observe this man. For the Bible says the future of that man shall be peace." Yes. And the word peace there, of course, is the all-encompassing Hebrew word shalom, which includes peace, it includes health, it includes prosperity, it includes your total well-being. So God says, "You mark the blameless man, you observe the upright man, for that man's future is a future of peace, health, and prosperity." You see, that's what God has already declared for you. That's what God has already declared for us. That's why God just needs us to get in line with Him. Come in agreement with Him. When sickness shows up, we don't pet sickness. We don't put up with sickness. We don't let sickness hang around for a few days. We don't pet it. What do we say? We resist it. Why? Because it's not part of God's plan for us. When poverty comes around, symptoms come around, poverty tries to linger, what do? We resist poverty. Why? It's not God's plan for us. But how many of you know the plan of God isn't automatically done? How many of you know James, I believe it's chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." So how many of you know there's two parts of this? What's part number one? I got to learn how to submit to God. How many of you know He'll teach you? How many of you know He'll train you? How many of you know He'll instruct you? How many of you know He'll correct you? What is all of that? All of that is part of submitting to God. How many of you know just because you get born again, you don't know how to submit to God? Just because you get born again, it doesn't mean you automatically know how to submit to God. We got to learn how to submit to God. Amen. How many of you know submission is a good word? Amen. How many of you know submission is a kingdom word? Amen. How many of you know submission to authority, and especially the greatest authority, God? How many of you know submission to authority is your friend? Amen. Sure it is. Being undercover is a safe place to be. Being submitted to authority is a safe place to be. Amen. Authority is given to you to protect you. Amen. Authority is given to you to watch over you. So James 4 says this, submit to God. That's the first part. Right? Just because you get born again doesn't mean you know how to submit to God. Submit to God, and then number two, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. What if you try to resist the devil, but you didn't submit to God? He won't flee from you. It works both ways. You got to submit to God, submit to his word, submit to the revelation of redemption, submit to the fact that you're redeemed from the curse of sickness and disease. Sometimes people just look at it, well, I don't know if that's really true. I've got symptoms in my body, and I got cold and cough and flu. No, God's word is the final authority. God's word is the final authority. All the promises of God in him are yes, and they are amen. So what do we do when these intruders try to come in? And that's what they are. Sickness is an intruder. Poverty is an intruder. Strife is an intruder. What do? We submit to what God says. And what did he say? Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of poverty. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of financial lack. I submit to God, and then what do? I take my stand as the redeemed, and I resist the devil. I tell the poverty to go. I tell the sickness to go. Listen, I don't even necessarily pray. I'm not even praying right now because I'm already redeemed. So what do? I submit to God. Lord, your word said that I'm healed. Your word says I'm redeemed from sickness and disease. So now what do? I tell the sickness and disease, go. I'm not praying. I'm telling it to go. Right? We used this example before, but how many of you know if right now... Well, see, we worked hard to paint this place, clean it up. And I can tell you right now that if a dirty dog, a dirty animal came running in here, there would be more than one person running it out. I can guarantee you, because there were a number of people cleaning up in here. But if a dirty animal came running in here, you know what? We wouldn't have a prayer meeting. Okay, everybody, there's a dirty animal running loose in here. Let's stop and pray. Meanwhile, the animal's running all over, you know, shaking itself, slopping dirt all over the place. No, what would we do if the intruder came in? We wouldn't pray. What would we do? We'd run it out. And that's what we got to do with poverty. And that's what we got to do with lack. And that's what we got to do with fear. And that's what we got to do with symptoms of sickness and disease. There's a time to pray, but there's a time to exercise authority. And once you know the will of God, you don't have to pray anymore. I said, once you know the will of God, you don't have to pray anymore. It's time to exercise your authority. Sickness, you go from me. Poverty, you go from me. Money, you come to me. Provision, you come to me. Amen. You call it forth. Everybody say, good plans. Plans to prosper. Not to harm. So the scripture goes on to say plans of an expected end. And what is the expected end that God has for you? Shalom. You don't have to fear the future. You don't have to fear the future. It doesn't matter if all of the world's economies go down, God's kingdom will stand. Now is the time to build your house on the rock. Don't wait. Build today. Be a builder today. You say, Brother Joe, I want to build my house on the rock. How do I build my house on the rock? The Bible tells us, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Don't turn there. It says, Jesus said, whoever hears my sayings, whoever hears the word of God and does it, I'll liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And though the rains descended, the winds came, and the flood beat against that house, the house stood. Why? It was founded on the rock. And so what is the rock? The rock is when you hear the word of God, when you get a revelation of the word of God, and then you step out and you do the word of God. Amen. Every time you sit in here and you hear the word preached, you know, it's not enough just to hear. Hearing is good. But how many of you know once you hear and revelation comes, you got to take a step. And every time you hear the word, and see God speaking in many different ways to many different people in this place right now. And as God speaks to you and he enlightens your spirit and gives you revelation, you walk in that light. Every step you take, you're building. You're building on the rock that can't be shaken. God's kingdom can't be shaken. God's kingdom cannot be stopped. God's kingdom cannot be thwarted. So our goal is to learn how to line up with God, how to line up with his plan, how to line up with his kingdom. His kingdom, I want to say it again, his kingdom is recession proof. I'm telling you the truth from the Word of God. When you and I operate in the principles of the kingdom and we trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ and His grace, we don't have to have ups and downs. We don't have to. We got to change our mentality. Part of the reason we have ups and downs is because we expect ups and downs. Our faith is producing for us. It's producing ups and downs because we expect ups and downs based upon the stock market, based upon the newspaper, based upon what the experts say. Well, who are the experts? This Word is the expert. And I tell you what, I'm more fully persuaded of this than I ever have before. Those in the world don't have any clue what they're doing. I know this doesn't mean zero here. It means money, but zero. Voila, they don't have any clue. If people don't have the counsel of the Word of God, they're in darkness. Yes. It doesn't matter how many places, how many degrees they got, how many initials they have after their name. If they don't have the authority of the Word of God, they're in darkness. So God's kingdom is recession proof. We don't have to have ups and downs. You don't have to have ups and downs. How many of you know when God is your source, if one channel dries up, He can open up two more channels? That's why we want to begin to train ourselves that we only look to God. We only look to God. When we need money, right? We don't immediately look to our relatives. We don't immediately look to our boss and put pressure. It's quiet in here. We don't immediately put pressure on our boss or put pressure on our relatives. Or immediately, we don't even immediately go to our savings. None of these things are our source. Who is our source? God is our source. His kingdom is our source. And it's not a broken down, dilapidated kingdom. It's a strong kingdom. And so these are our greatest days ever financially. I'm telling you the truth. These are our greatest days ever. Why? Because we're getting more rooted, more grounded, more established on the kingdom of God and His way of doing things than we ever have before. Amen. Everybody say good plans. Everybody say we're going up. We're increasing. We're not going down. You say, well, you know, my company is cutting back. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all of your need according to your company and whether they have cutbacks or no cutbacks. No, it doesn't say that, does it? How many of you know God can support His Word? Yes. How many of you know even if your company cuts back or lays off, how many of you know Philippians 4:19 is still true? Yes. So why am I preaching all this? To get us to transfer our thoughts, our trust, out of that whole world system over into God and His economy. Job 36:11, it says, if they obey and serve Him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. How many of you know this is true? This is true. If we'll obey Him, if we'll serve Him, if we'll follow Him. See, you can't just do anything and prosper. Now, prosperity is available for all through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But there's a path to pursue. And the path gets brighter and brighter. Amen. And the provisions get fuller and fuller. Amen. But you got to pursue the path. If they obey and serve Him, they shall spend... How do you want to spend your days? How would you like to spend the next 10 years of your life? I mean, really, you got to get a vision. You got to get a vision about how do I want to spend the next 10 years of my life? This is God's vision for you. I see myself. Where do you see yourself? I'm seeing myself obeying God. Amen. I'm seeing myself by His grace carrying out His projects. Amen. Serving Him. Obeying and serving God. And then what's the result? I'll spend my days in prosperity. Amen. I'll spend my years in pleasures. Amen. How many of you know God can uphold His Word? Right. See, we got to drive the unbelief out. Amen. How many of you know God's big enough? He can do what He said He would do. He's well able to perform His word.
Amen.
Everybody say obey.
Obey.
Serve.
Serve.
Prosperity.
Prosperity.
Pleasures.
Pleasures.
That's the will of God for you.
Amen.
For whosoever. Anybody can have this. Everybody say, God's plan
is a good plan.